happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com, right on cue.
Good evening, and this is the prime evening news for today, Thursday, September 26, 2019. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. Parliamentary opposition leader and Marigot MP Lennox Linton has provided a clear and precise breakdown of what many are now calling the Roosevelt Skerrit CBI Club.
Wherever it happens.
The St. Kitts and Nevis government says it will table legislation in October, preventing anyone from serving as prime minister for more than two terms, but the SKNLP described that move as mere window shopping. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, with its 195 members, a leading international authority, urges the countries to act now and protect hundreds of millions of people at risk and communities as well. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. The details of these stories and more coming up next.
Local, regional, and global, only on Q95, the big station, Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
We're celebrating 60 with the best, and bringing value home is priceless.
Quartz 60th anniversary celebrations continue with the biggest bogo ever. Buy one, get 60% off. Shop from Wednesday 25th to Friday 27th September. Buy one, get one 60% off. Offer valid on credit purchases 24 months and over. Terms and conditions apply.
Hobby, we got what you need and more. It's happening in the store. Shop at Quartz.
The revenue from the...
And we're back. Leader of the parliamentary opposition in Dominica and Marigot MP Lennox Linton has provided a clear and precise breakdown of what many are now calling the Roosevelt Skerrit CBI Club. The Prime Minister Skerrit and his administration have failed to account for billions of dollars collected and dispersed during his 2019 national budget presentation in July 2019. Linton went on to explain the scenario that after he exposed the discrepancy of over $1 billion for the financial year 2018 to 2019, he also revealed the level of slanderous statements made against him by some DLP officials for shedding light on this issue.
The revenue from the CBI for that year was underreported by over $1 billion. I therefore ask the simple question, where the money gone? With the reasonable expectation that the 21 government parliamentarians would give an explanation and the Prime Minister would bring closure to the matter in his conclusion of the debate. Instead, I was subjected to verbal abuse in and out of Parliament, even though it was quite clear that the majority of cabinet ministers knew nothing about the scandalous $1 billion discrepancy in the country's CBI revenues. While the handlers of the Prime Minister launched a campaign to discredit my observations, the Prime Minister himself appeared live on a radio program and announced to the world that if all the passport money received for state housing projects were reported in the 2019 budget, the budget would have been $2.2 billion instead of $1 billion. And I quote him directly, "If we did not have the housing, or if we did not go with the housing program in the way that we went, all of those revenues would go to the state, and therefore it would form part of the estimates of the public sector investment program. Had we included this in the estimates, the budget would not have been $1 billion, it would be about $2.2 billion, end of quote."
The Marigot MP went on to break down the science behind the Roosevelt Skerrit administration's economic diversification fund, the real estate investment initiative, and the secretly offered housing initiative, which is not publicly published by the administration's CBI program.
Prior to the Prime Minister's explanatory statement on the missing $1.2 billion in an August 2019 radio interview, the people of Dominica knew nothing about a housing option to purchase Dominican citizenship. 2 months after this housing option revelation, government's official communication to the world about the CBI program on CBI websites, on advertisements, and other publications still presents only two options to obtain Dominican citizenship. Number one, the Economic Diversification Fund, or EDF, a direct cash contribution to government dedicated to financing public sector projects. And two, real estate, investments in approved real estate projects. Nothing, absolutely nothing about housing to this very day. So since 2016, SCARET has been facilitating the secret arrangement with Anthony Hayden of Montreal Management Company, which uses the people's money from the sale of the people's passports to fund housing for the people. But instead of putting the people's money into the people's treasury, the people's consolidated fund, SCARET is putting the people's money into a special account, and he's stubbornly refusing to account to the people for the people's money.
He continued further stating that based on the UWP's research, the Roosevelt SCARET administration's CBI operations illegally diverts CBI revenues generated through the EDF options from the Treasury to an undisclosed escrow account.
He said, and I quote, in respect to the housing, there was a special dispensation, so it's not under the real estate. It is treated somewhat like the economic diversification fund option, so the fees applicable to the housing are the fees applicable if you were to invest in the EDF, government's direct monetary option, end of quote. For the avoidance of doubt, all the monies from the EDF go into the state treasury. The fees for the housing program are the same as the EDF option, but SCARET's sweetheart deal allows Montreal Management Company to use the CBI housing money to build houses and to make a development profit on the difference between the cost of houses built and the amount of passport money collected for housing. SCARET says, and I quote again, the housing program is now the premier program. If we did not have the housing program, and if we only had the Range and the Marriott, you would see a dramatic number in terms of revenue for the government. The housing program is doing better than the fund option, end of quote. SCARET's housing program illegally diverts CBI revenues generated through the EDF option from the Treasury to a special account. The program is exclusive to Montreal Management Company, which SCARET has facilitated to cannibalize Dominica's flagship direct cash contribution program with the offer of bargain housing option prices.
And that was the leader of the parliamentary opposition in Dominica and Marigot MP Lennox Linton. And president of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, stated that public officers are part of an intelligentsia of Dominica and can give a professional analysis on national issues. Joseph shared his opinion yesterday evening on a DPSU program on QFM Radio.
And we cannot stifle the professional and objective opinion or analysis that the public officers will have. Of course, the law ensures that there is no bias, and as such, in your function, you may have the privilege of certain information. And so the law is very cautious that you do not go on any political platform and canvass and campaign for a political party.
Mr. Joseph believes all Dominicans should be able to listen to different points of political views.
Attend different meetings to hear policy positions of political parties, and be it green, red, or blue, to after an analysis arrive at a conclusion as to who you want to support, or what party you want to support, or it might not be a party, it might be a candidate, based on their principles and what they believe in. People vote for different reasons. Or you may choose that this election there is nobody that both parties have put up that I want to support.
Joseph says it appears that individuals are being attacked once they have an opposing political view to the other.
And it appears that people are being attacked and maligned once they have an opposition view that is not that of certain persons who ascribe to political philosophy.
And that was the president of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph. And leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Ken Vidal, insisted on the cleansing of the voters list and issuing of voter ID cards before the next general election is constitutionally due in May 2020. As a result of the current administration's deliberate delaying of the issuing of the voter ID cards, Vidal suggested that the resignation of the government if the administration believes there is not enough time.
And if the government still thinks that there isn't enough time between now, remember they delayed deliberately. If they think that there is not enough time between now and the constitutionally due date, sometime in May or so, 2020, then our strong suggestion is this, that the government resign and allow an interim government to be in place to ensure that this list is cleansed, that this list is ID cards are issued, so we can have free and fair election.
Vital claims anyone who does not want electoral reform must have something to hide.
I want those persons, those labor rights, who still support, because many of them are moving away. Many of them are beginning to realize the madness and the wickedness of Roosevelt's carrot and those who support him. Many are realizing, when they begin to look at things like electoral reform, they realize, no, anybody who doesn't want to do electoral reform has something to hide. You must have something to hide. So to those whose eyes are still closed, we're encouraging you, look at this carefully, because he must have something to hide, and begin to insist to him, if you have nothing to hide and if you really think you can win, then cleanse the list, a simple matter. And if you can't, resign, let an interim administration run the country until the voters' list is cleansed.
And that was the leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Kent Vital. And ear, nose and throat specialist Dr. Irvin Pascoe says the oath of a doctor is one that is humane and demands morality to be prioritized above other persuasions, political or otherwise. Dr. Pascoe is cautioning all doctors on the medical board and the Ministry of Health in Dominica to explain the most recent cases of victimization and preferential treatment towards two of his patients and himself. Dr. Pascoe referenced two very recent patients with major ENT problems. One was saved and treated at his clinic, and the other, a three-year-old, after some 16 days, is still awaiting assistance from the medical board to be flown out for treatment.
And those who believe that their position will afford them the service that they're denying to these people, not from me, plain and simple. My Hippocratic oath is not about for one set of people, it's to treat every patient equally. And that is the oath that all the other doctors in the system take, even the ones who are now in charge of the hospital, the CMO, and the Minister of Health. So they must come and explain to the public now how that kind of thing can happen in Dominica in 2019. Because if it was one of them children, what I want to know, if they would accept that for their child.
And that was ENT specialist Dr. Irvin Pascoe. And the leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Kent Vital, has weighed in on the injustice done to Dominica's only ENT specialist, Dr. Irvin Pascoe, questioning how one can hurt a patient for political reasons, as he described the dilemma as another example of hate politics.
You will hurt your own people. You would spite your own people who needed help, and a surgeon who had previously operated at the hospital, retired, can't help, and you're not allowing him to help, even when the general surgeon recognized that he couldn't, you know, it'd be better if he had the specialist with him. When the general surgeon wanted that help, you are turning it down and saying Dr. Pascoe cannot help when a patient is at risk. Now, how many other patients are you going to risk in our country? How many other lives are you going to sacrifice because of your foolish politics, because of your dictatorship politics? I mean, this is sad.
And that was the leader of the Dominica Freedom Party, Kent Vital. And the UWP candidate for the Roseau Central constituency, businessman Glenroy Soso-Cuffey, has vowed that a United Workers' Party government will not engage in stupid acts of victimization and preferential treatment as committed by Roosevelt Skerrit administration and some DLP officials over the past 19 years. Cuffey told a gathering of Dominicans resident at Antigua on Sunday that we are all one black race and it is time that we start acting like it.
That we may be of different political colors. We are one people, we are one nation. And our government in waiting will ensure that there is no selectivity with respect to helping people. Each and every one will get equal help. There is nothing about selectivity as we experience under this government. And so, brothers and sisters, I say to you that you have a team which comprises of solid men and women of diverse backgrounds. We are going to fix Dominica, but we can't do it alone. We need you. We need you. We need everyone on board.
And that was the UWP candidate for the Roseau Central constituency and a businessman, Glenroy Soso-Cuffey, and project manager of the Implementation Union of the Dominica Emergency Agricultural Livelihoods and Climate Resilient Project, Kervin Stevenson, says that there are farmers who have still not accessed their farms since the passage of Hurricane Maria 2 years ago. He says the Ministry of Agriculture is looking to implement an engineering unit to focus on clearing pathways to farms and creating a much-needed access for roads for farmers as well.
in terms of not only the feeder roads but access to their farms. We still have some farmers up to today have not accessed their farms yet. So what we have told them is that it's to apply. The more farmers that we have from particular areas, that we can have justification for asking for those roads to be fixed up. A component of the project is institutional strengthening of the ministry, and one of the institutional strengthening of the ministry is we try to get the ministry established what we call an engineering unit, a unit that will be responsible for hoof movements, irrigation, drainage, and have access to equipment. So one of the features that we're hoping with the engagement of an engineer on the PIU is to facilitate the ministry in establishing an engineering unit, which will eventually help to alleviate the access roads problems.
And that was a project manager of the Implementation Union of the Dominica Emergency Agricultural Livelihoods and Climate Resilient Project, Kirvin Stevenson. And the Chief Executive Officer of the Discover Dominica Authority, Colin Piper, says to date approximately 280 individuals have benefited from organized training by the Discover Dominica Authority. He says the trainings have focused on delivering quality services, targeting Picard apartment owners and tourism service providers, such as tour guides, craft and souvenir vendors, taxi service providers, and much others.
Immigration officers, customs officers, forestry park wardens, and Dominica Air and Seaport Authority security. This initiative was undertaken to assist in boosting the quality of service rendered to tourism service providers.
Piper says to complement the hosting of the training in the upcoming months, the DDA will seek to implement a tourism awareness campaign.
And this is with the view of increasing public knowledge on the importance of the tourism industry and to foster positive attitudes and behavior among the local population and students. So we anticipate that all the participants will apply the knowledge gained thus far into their respective fields in order to improve the quality of service delivered to visitors.
And that was the Chief Executive Officer of the Discover Dominica Authority, Colin Piper. And the Ministry of Health is confirming that there has been an increase in a dengue outbreak in three health districts in Dominica. This information comes from Chief Medical Officer Dr. Adrian Deschausse, who says that the number of hospitalizations due to the mosquito-borne illnesses has also increased this month. He says there have been 10 cases confirmed from the reference laboratory as well as the Public Health Agency, or CAFA. During the period of September 1st to September 21st, there has been 45 admissions to the hospital, four of which required ICU administrations, but no reported deaths.
There have been 10 laboratory-confirmed cases of dengue by our reference laboratory, the Caribbean Public Health Agency, CAFO, and we have continued to collect samples and sent for confirmation at CAFO. During the period of September 1st to 21st, there have been 45 admissions to the hospital out of 90 suspected dengue cases. Four of them required, unfortunately, ICU admission. I'm pleased to say, nonetheless, all admission cases were managed and discharged upon improvement. There have been no reported, let me reiterate, there have been no reported deaths from dengue fever at this time, fortunately. In this regard, the Ministry of Health and Social Services wishes to announce, based on findings from our epidemiological threshold of Dominica as it relates to dengue fever, we are now at an outbreak of dengue. It is important to note also, thus far the outbreak has been limited to the Roseau, Laplane, and Cassibus Health District. Every effort, nonetheless, is being made to stem the fever spread to other areas.
Dr. Deschausse says that the beginning of the rainy seasons has seen an increase in the dengue transmission and has also been marked as the peak period for the flu. He advises everyone to be mindful of some of the signs and symptoms of the virus, which includes the joint pains, vomiting, amongst other things.
The beginning of the rainy season throughout the Caribbean region has seen an increase in the dengue transmission and also marks the peak period for the flu. You can get dengue fever if you are bitten by a mosquito which is carrying the virus. Dengue fever is also called breakbone fever. It can become a serious public health problem. The symptoms of dengue may mimic that of the general flu or the common seasonal flu. What are some of the symptoms that one may experience if he or she might be experiencing dengue-like symptoms? Some of these would include high fever, eye pain, intense headaches, severe joint pains, and a muscle pain referred to by many patients in those cases, vomiting, and or the typical rash. Sometimes some persons can present with the severe form of the disease known as dengue hemorrhagic fever, in which there can be bleeding under your skin, from the nose, the gums, the intestines, and may result in damage to the liver. The bleeding can be massive, causing dengue shock syndrome, which can ultimately lead to death. Persons presenting with signs and or symptoms of dengue fever should seek immediate attention at the nearest health center or their personal doctor. Persons presenting with severe forms of dengue and those who have chronic conditions such as diabetes, hypertension, those who may be sickle cell disease, for example, or may have heart conditions, should report to the accident and emergency department at the soonest.
And that was the Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Adrian Adeshasi. And in other news, the St. Kitts and Nevis government on Wednesday said it would table legislation in October preventing anyone from serving as a prime minister for more than 2 months, a move the main opposition of St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party, or SKNLP, has described as mere window shopping. Government said it would table the constitution of a St. Christopher and a Nevis, which is the tenure of the office of the Prime Minister Amendment Bill 2019, at the next sitting of the National Assembly in October. Essentially, the main objective of the bill is to make an amendment of the Section 52, Subsection 2 of the Constitution. With the amendment, a representative shall not hold office as Prime Minister for more than 2 terms, whether or not served consecutively, the government said in a statement. But the SKNLP said that the given track record that lacks requiring the 2/3 majority to get the legislation passed in Parliament, Prime Minister Dr. Timothy Harris would be better served removing the legislation from the order paper. The opposition party noted that the bill requires the approval of no less than 2/3 of all elected representatives, and given the balance of power in the current parliament, the bill has no prospect of being passed without support from the opposition. The party quoted a regional analysis as saying that the bill is intended to prevent opposition leader Dr. Denzel Douglas, who in the past had served as prime minister on more than 2 occasions. But the government stated that the Prime Minister Harris and his coalition government has long contended that a legislation of this nature would only serve to strengthen democracy within Twin Islands Federation and would bring St. Kitts and Nevis in line with practices of many jurisdictions globally where there is already legislated term limits for heads of government. He also says it is also the hope that the passing of this piece of legislation will lessen the likelihoods of corruption that may arise during prolonged periods in office, as well as promote fresh ideas on governments by younger leaders. The statement said that the second reading of the bill follows the passage of the motion of no confidence bill in 2019 earlier this month that stipulates the time frame within which a motion against the government must be debated. And when it comes to finding out the latest science on global warming, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, with its 195 members, is a leading international authority. That's according to IPCC's latest report. Sea levels are rising faster than expected, while many of the world's smaller glaciers could largely disappear by the end of this century. IPCC Working Group Chair Valerie Maison-Delmont explains how important it is for governments to act now to protect hundreds of millions of people in risk communities from coastlines to mountain regions.
There are 670 million people in the high mountain regions, and climate change is visible through the retreat of glaciers. It has implications for the runoff of water. It has implications for hazards, so it's affecting people locally. In many regions, like in the Alps, many smaller glaciers, they are projected to lose almost all of their mass by the end of the century if greenhouse gas emissions continue. What's really striking in terms of changes in the ocean is a combination of factors. So ocean warming, more intense widespread heat waves, changes in the mixing between surface and deeper water layers in a warmer ocean. It can affect the supply of oxygen and the supply of nutrients for marine life, and also by absorbing a significant fraction, 20 to 30% of our greenhouse gas emissions. Even if global warming is limited at 1.5 degrees Celsius, there already are shifts in fish population, and with a reduction already identified in the global catch potential, with further warming, there will be further decreases in fish populations, especially in the tropics, but more contrasted changes in the Arctic, because there could be more habitats available for temperate species to move to the Arctic.
And that's the primary of the news. Here's a recap of the headlines. A parliamentary opposition leader and Margaret MP Lennox Linton has provided a clear and precise breakdown of what many are now calling the Roosevelt Skerrida CBI Club.
When it happened.
St. Kitts and Nevis government says it will table legislation in October preventing anyone from serving as prime minister for more than two terms, but the SKNLP describes that move as mere window shopping. And the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, with its 195 members, a leading international authority, urges countries to act now and protect hundreds of millions of people in at-risk communities. The news was brought to you for the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. I've been your presenter, Hassan Robinson.
Q, top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.